I actually got to know Dave pretty well. Oh, it's been a number of years ago when we had kind of a partial collapse of the tree food industry in the state of Washington, and then within a year or so, the last time dairy got in trouble, and we set something up called the Farm Family Support Network, and Dave came out and worked with us and provided exceptional guidance on getting that up and going, and I've really come to appreciate his commitment to the issues of working with farm and ranch families. So, Dave, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, John. Greetings here from the frozen tundra. We currently have the university closed down. We had about 12 inches of snow last night, and we currently are experiencing 30-plus mile-an-hour winds, so we have a kind of a pleasant day here in Nebraska. I'm with the North Central Risk Management Education Center. I'm the deputy director there, and on that title slide, you can see our web address. All of the resources at our center, as well as all the other centers, are very similar, and they are all accessible through our web and on our web addresses. Would you go ahead and go to the next slide, Dwayne? There, we're working. Those are the 12 states in our area, and we work primarily with those, but also on occasion we'll have a chance to do some multi-regional grants, and I'm going to speak about that in a bit. Don, you'd asked me to address the pre-conference. We will be doing a pre-conference. We'll actually be the day before the Women in Ag, and we're going to be focusing, at least at this stage, there's a committee that will make the final decision, but looks like we'll be focusing on financial management tools that will help people more directly address the financial issues that we've been going through this year. We're going to be looking at the tools and having some hands-on opportunity, I think, to have some experience for people to actually spend a little time working with these. So that's what I believe the topic's going to be, but I will also say that the planning committee has the final say, and they will be making that final determination. So check the web addresses and check the registration sites, and you can find out that for sure. Let's go to the next slide. Dwayne, would you go to the next slide? There we go. We were having a meeting, let's see, it was the summer of 2008, and I'll just take you back to some of the discussion we had there. At that time, we were looking at $7 corn, $15 soybeans, fertilizer prices double or triple what they'd been in the past years, oil, crude at $140 a ton, and our national economy, looking fairly strong. There's been a lot of things that have changed since then. And at that time, though, we were having a meeting with our risk management needs assessment group, called the board of directors at that time. But the question was posed to all of the group, do you think this bubble's going to continue, or do you think it's going to burst, or what's the situation? And to a person, each one of them felt that there could be some serious impacts. We've experienced those impacts, especially in the livestock producers in the Midwest. Grain producers are now going through some of the same challenges. We have had a harvest in our part of the country where that's developed grain that has a moisture content 5, 6, 7, 10% higher than what is typical. Yields seem to be pretty good, but prices are down and moisture has created a bunch of challenges. Livestock producers that went through that $7 corn and that high feed prices have now experienced the drop in the demand that's resulted from the national economy. And so the livestock challenges have been an ongoing thing. Could you go to the next slide, Dwayne? And at that needs assessment meeting, we really question. Well, if this bubble does burst, as they thought it might, do we have the capacity and extension to deal with it? And in Nebraska and in many of the other states in the Midwest and the North Central, we've met some of the budget challenges with our institutions on the backs of retirements. And we've been especially hard hit in the farm management area. And many of the other folks that were around the North Central region have echoed the same thing. So as a result, this last summer, we decided to do a national training to help build extension capacity. And you can, if you'd like to review some of that material that was discussed there, it's listed on the Ag Risk Library website. You can access it there. And that material, I believe, and maybe that effort led to at least part of what the Western Center has now done with the webinars. And so we're trying to build on what each of the centers have done to help develop capacity. Next slide, please. Some of the resources that are in the Midwest are listed there. You know, there's hotlines, and there's some of the universities have done various activities in our North Central region. But the question has come up from quite a few sources is, will there be funding available? And the answer to that is yes. Go ahead and turn the pages, or go to the next slide, please. And in the North Central region, and I believe all of our centers are the same, one of the things that we did many years ago was try to do the same process and procedure at each of our centers to follow a guideline that where we all are similar, if not identical. And our RFA is going to be listed at the same times. Our RFA is out, and the deadline is the same, which is the 15th of this month. And what we've done in our RFA is we've asked for applications in four categories. Unrestricted competitive grants is the first category that we have listed here. And it's projects that address all kinds of things, marketing, financial management, which would provide funding sources for some of the stress activities, the financial activities that we're now experiencing. And one of those, and I think it was mentioned by John, our Winning the Game program that was developed and then spread out really throughout the whole nation started as one of these grant activities. So it's kind of an example of what can happen. The other category is human resources, and one of the categories that fits in that quite nicely is women in agriculture. It may also even fit in the special emphasis area, but we've been doing women in agriculture grants in the North Central for many, many years. Annie's program, as was mentioned, has been duplicated and spread throughout the United States. We could say the same thing for farm succession workshops. There's been a lot of activity in the North Central region. There's been a couple of multi-regional grant activities that have funded farm succession in a couple of different regions, and also some communication from labor issues. The value-added category is our third category. It deals with entrepreneurship, diversification, and a couple of applications even address direct marketing, different ways to add value to commodities. The thing that's maybe a bit different in our region than the other regions involve this special emphasis challenge grants. In the Northeast, they have a $1,000 grant for educators. In the North Central, what we're trying to do is encourage those folks that may have an idea for a special emphasis grant. And by encouraging, I mean what we're doing is we're providing a $3,000, I'm going to say, seed money. It's a small grant that will help organize people in your state, possibly in more than one state, to go ahead and try to organize to see if it makes sense to apply for a full grant in 2011. And so we're providing those challenge grants this year for those that may be in the special emphasis areas, Hispanics, women, beginning farmers, immigrant farmers, Native Americans, black farmers, those that are listed in the special emphasis area. And we're providing seed money for people that would like to organize a meeting, a planning meeting, to see if they want to move on in their state. Can we go to the next slide, please, Dwayne? That we have a two-step process, and all of us have that same process. The challenge grant is just going to need to apply to the pre-proposal stage, and they will either be approved or denied at the pre-proposal stage, and then we will notify them after the next year begins, which would January of 2011. So that's the process that we'll be using for that. And you can see the deadline, again, on the pre-proposals is 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on the 15th. Our advisory council will meet, and they're made up of a group of folks throughout the North Central region. We are, in fact, looking for a couple of members to replace folks that are going off our advisory council. So if any of you listening would like to be part of the advisory council or would like to provide us with a name of someone that you would like to recommend as a member of the advisory council, please send me an email. That would be great. We appreciate that. Next slide, please. And then the last step, those that are asked in the pre-proposal stage to submit a full application, those will be due on the 4th of March, as you can see. And then our advisory councils, who make all of the decisions. As a staff people, you know, we do not try to influence the advisory council. It's totally made, the decisions are totally made by the advisory council and not by us. So the funded project should be announced in early May. Next slide, please. They look at this evaluation criteria quite closely. It's listed in the RFA. I won't spend a lot of time on going through this, but I will echo what John had to say about the importance of the results. You can see that it's 40% of the evaluation criteria. So if you can start with the end in mind when you're sitting down with an idea, if you're doing a challenge grant with people in your state trying to decide how you might address a beginning farmer situation or a Hispanic situation or whatever it might be in the special emphasis area, start with that end in mind. What are the results that you want to accomplish, and how then are you going to be able to verify those results? If you do a good job in step number one, which is identifying the proposed results and then verifying those results, you have 60% of the criteria done well. Producer demand, identifying where there's producer demand is also 20%. Collaboration is 10%. And I will tell you, for folks in the North Central region, that collaboration is looked at in every application. And if it's just an extension grant, or if it's just a nonprofit or just a private enterprise, it will not be looked on as favorably as it would be if the application included extension, a nonprofit, private enterprise, farm organization, whatever it might be. So collaboration is important, and what they're going to do is also important in that collaboration. And wide application and innovation are the last two that bring up the criteria total for 100%. Next page, please. Next slide, please. I mentioned multi-regionals, and it's possible if you have a national scope to your project that you might apply to all four regions. And we do not decide based on whether or not it's going to be nationally a good program. Each region makes the decision based on the application that you send and the criteria that I just mentioned, whether or not they're going to accept it in their region. So if you do have a multi-regional or a national application that you would like to make, make it to each region for the impact and the budgets and everything else that will be involved for that region. Now, in the pre-proposal stage, we don't ask you to go into a lot of budget detail, but if you're going to have a $100,000 project that you want to involve three states, you would want to, or three different regions, excuse me, you'd want to make the application to each region and use the approximate budget amount that you would need for each region, as well as the results and collaborators for each region. So multi-regional applications are welcome. You will need to check a spot in the application form, and I think it's pretty self-evident. There's also some information on the tutorial if you need any questions on that. But, you know, we welcome those. But it's, you know, kind of a unique situation that might be applicable all across the nation. And the next slide, please. And the next slide is the last slide. And there again, there's our web address on the top. I'm the second one listed on the list. Doug Jones was not able to be with us today, and so I'm pinch hitting. And that's our staff. And if you have any questions or comments, please go ahead and let us know. We're all at University of Nebraska. I don't see any questions there, but I see John's speaker on. So, Duane, do you have anything that you want to transfer to me?
Hang on, Dave.
One question, Duane, to transfer to him. That it said actually for the Western Center, but either one of us could answer it, and then we'll move to Bob. And it's, do the grants have indirects, and do we require a match? And this answer is the same for every center. So,
okay, hang on. Dave, the question is applicable to all centers. Do the grants have indirect costs, and are there matching funds required?
There are not matching funds required. The indirect depends on your institution. I know that if your institution, if you work with an extension department, university, land grant, whatever it might be, that there likely will be some indirects that will be that they will want to have out of that.
Yes, we are, and here we're we have to follow our authorizing legislation, which was passed in 2000, which does not restrict indirects. So an institution can ask us for whatever their federally negotiated rate is, and we have to honor that. And in the West, and I think it's true across the other centers, we do not use that in any way in the decision-making criteria. It's not held against you. It's not positive. It is just part of the cost of doing business, which Congress chose in this program to allow full indirect costs. So, but no match of any kind. Don't list it. We aren't looking for it. If you list it, we're going to make you verify it. We don't have any choice on that. USDA would require that. So, Dave, thank you.